All right, sourcing support. So good to be with you today. How you doing? What's up? Thanks for being with me.
Walking on sunshine. Yeah.
Walking on sunshine. I remember when you started saying that to me, or when I first started noticing that was your thing, and I'm like, oh, that's a good thing. So I've started to say, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Nice.
I think I took it to the an unnecessary degree.
I like it.
Dude, so we've invited you here in the spirit of building leftist unity, strength, and power in that spirit. Thanks for joining us. I'm really excited to have the chat, the first interview. Of course, we're planting seeds, and hopefully we'll come back later and continue the conversation. But this is a nice little way for me to get to know you, for the community to get to know you, et cetera. So thanks again for being willing to share your story and some life tips. We're going to do the Inquisition, et cetera. And I guess here we go. You ready to go?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. But so the first bit of questions is just pretty much about you. Where are they now? If you don't mind, go ahead, introduce yourself, your pronouns, and a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. So Andre is my name. Sourcing support's my handle. He, them, pretty comfortable with anything, but certainly default to he. And yeah, I've been streaming for, I don't know, roughly a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. I initially got into streaming actually on the tech side, was frustrated with the lack of kind of real tech tutorials, right? They're all very polished. And so you just see the final product and don't see what people struggle with. And so I got into it probably 2008, showing people the real headaches that you can get stuck on a problem for 2 hours. And that's just normal. Don't get mad. And then, you know, kind of shifted into politics. I've been into politics for as long as I can remember, I guess, but was on the right for a long time, and I moved over, you know, gradually to the left over the past, I don't know, I guess you could say 7 years, roughly, give or take.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll absolutely be fascinating to talk about. If not today, then definitely another time. And hopefully we have some time to dig into some really important things, of course. So, but of course, we're trying to get to know you a little bit. Folks can find you on social media on your Twitch account. I didn't find you on Twitter, did I?
I'm on Twitter, but only technically. So it's and it's not sourcing support. It's just Andre Bradshaw, my full name on Twitter. And my YouTube is same thing, Andre Bradshaw. It's more... less politics, more tech focused on those social media channels.
Okay. Cool. So sourcing support, if you don't mind, can we talk a little bit more about what you talk about on your channel?
Yeah.
You said like you're more doing politics these days. What does that mean? What do you all talk about?
Yeah, so it's really just kind of a place for me to unwind, honestly. I don't have a real agenda other than just to talk to people and try to be civil and pleasant with people, even when they're being a little bit abusive. I mean, I don't take too much of that, you know, as long as it's not directed at the rest of my chat, it's okay. Or it's not okay if it's directed at my chat, but if it's directed at me, you know, I can take that and try to talk through it with people. And I feel like I have a little bit of a responsibility personally, just because I come from that side of things. And while I don't believe that people change from a single instance, it doesn't hurt to have these conversations. In my view, you never know what you might say that might convince someone to think differently about one thing, and then that could have a cascading effect. So I don't have a real agenda. I just kind of hang out, watch political YouTube videos, talk to people about what they're doing, whatever is in, you know, news in the day.
You're not exactly like platforming Nazis though, sourcing support. You're just talking to them in the chat, right? You're not like having them on. Okay.
No,
like doing a formal debate.
No, and I don't really get into debate. I mean, sometimes people will call in when they have a disagreement, and it's easier just to flesh things out over the phone or, you know, over the audio. But that's actually generally people more on the left, or actually I don't know that I ever have talked to anybody on the right on voice, unfortunately. But yeah, I have mixed opinions, I guess, on the platforming thing. I definitely think that these types of conversations are probably better offline. I think you need to have them, but I don't know that they need to be a spectacle. If nothing else, I think it's difficult for people to change their minds when they feel like they're performing, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, really good points in there. lots of good stuff in there. And essentially, we as content creators should be you know, aware of this, because we're doing that to a certain extent too. Not to say you, Sourcing Support.
Yeah,
you're literally the chillest stream in the left Twitch sphere that I've encountered, and I'm jealous. I say that from a point of jealousy.
I think I appreciate that. I think you do a good job yourself, and yeah, it's definitely well practiced, so I do appreciate it.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Sourcing Support, let's get to know you a little bit more personally. Do you have like hobbies? What do you do outside of the streaming and the software tutorials, et cetera?
Yeah,
so sorry. I said like software tutorials.
It's more or less,
Coding, computer science. Okay, excuse me.
Yeah. Essentially the same, yeah. Primarily I spend most of my free time tinkering around with stuff like that. Sometimes I'll build little tools or just poke around, see what's going on any given site. That's probably where I spend the majority of my free time. Aside from that, I enjoy books, both fiction and nonfiction, personal growth type stuff. Learning about different things like science. I was into physics for a long time. These days I'm more studying or reading nonfiction associated with economics. The fiction side, I really get into sci-fi. That's pretty much all I consume there. And yeah, aside from that, my hobbies can span a lot of different things. I tend to focus on a given thing for a year or two and then move on. And I started that with programming, but I've been stuck on that for a good 4 years now. So I don't know. Before that, I was crocheting for a while, woodworking, different things.
Awesome. Cool. So now we get to ask Sourcing Support about your leftward bound journey. All right, so just we're going to have a chat about how you ended up where you are politically. Oftentimes people feel comfortable self-identifying their ideology. You don't have to if you don't want to. It's not a big deal. We do encourage you if you want to, though, if you're comfortable doing so. How about we just sort of start there? Yeah, how's that path go? Yeah.
So I don't have any strong labels I put on myself. Mm-hmm. I mostly just because I'm still evolving. I think if I had to choose a label, I'd say I'm anarchish.
I like that.
And I'm pretty far left, at least in my ideals. I tend to be more pragmatic in what I'm after in terms of short-term goals. But in terms of the ideal world, I'd probably be most in some sort of anarchist left society. And yeah, how I got there is it's mixed. Sure. It was a journey, and it stemmed from this one moment where I realized, as a overly confident individual, you might call me a chud, that I was wrong about something really key. And that made me rethink, kind of take a step back and think, all right, I need to really figure out what reality is. And that just kind of led me down, I guess, the journey of learning and being more open to the idea that I could be wrong about any given thing at any given time. It started off on the religious side of things. I was, I guess I still am to some degree a Christian, but I was far right Christian at the time, like big Ayn Rand person. And I'm sitting, and I was really involved in church, and I'm sitting in the front row thinking, wow, this Jesus is a communist, which means that he's the bad guy. What is going on here? And that just kind of, that realization forced me to kind of rethink everything. I've kind of come full circle to where I'm an atheist, I still consider myself to be a Christian in that sense, in the sense of I do believe that we should help each other and form communities like that to help each other.
So Sourcing Support, it seems like we're pointing at a couple, and stop me if I'm wrong, sort of like paradigm shifting moments. And I can't believe I just used the word paradigm in a sentence. But you mentioned you were sort of like you were going through a chud moment, and you noticed you were wrong about something. Was it the Ayn Rand thing, the Jesus being a commie thing, or was it something else? Are we willing to chat about it?
That was the big thing that just I could not reconcile, and it kind of been on my mind for a while. It's easy to ignore for, you know, if it's not convenient, you just ignore it. But I was getting increasingly involved in church, spent a considerable amount of time volunteering, and it was more and more difficult to reconcile that. And one day it was just, I remember the sermon, or not the words of it, but I remember the instance. It was like October of 2013. And I'm just like, what? This is just not right. There's something wrong here. And so I stopped going to church immediately just because I didn't feel comfortable with it. And spent, I don't know, the better part of a year kind of falling into that atheist movement that was happening at the time, yeah. Which kind of just further solidified my right leaning ideals at the time.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I was being because I was open to the fact that I was wrong, and because I was just listening to other people and reading other things, it kind of exposed me to, I don't know, things that I normally wouldn't be exposed to, right? You know, I was the kind of guy that, you know, had a paid subscription to PJTV, which was where Steven Crowder kind of started out.
Oh. Like,
yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a nice interview. Thanks, Source and Support, for coming by. I think that you crossed a line. Fuck it. No. Obviously. That's not important to me. Please go on. Yeah.
And I, you know, it's, there wasn't any one thing that kind of moved me left, but I, even when I was on the right, I had some, you know, everyone has conflicting ideas, right? Or things that they don't necessarily fit into the norm on. Mm-hmm. And mine was, I was always kind of against intellectual property. I just didn't think that it made a lot of sense. And I was really big into Creative Commons and Lawrence Lessig. And when he briefly ran for president in 2015 in the primary, I decided, oh, I want to pay attention to this. I like Lawrence Lessig. Mm-hmm. And I'd already kind of at that point, so backing up a little bit in 24, or go ahead, yeah, yeah.
I was just going to say, he was like the one issue guy, and he ran on like getting money out of politics.
Yep, exactly. Yep. But even prior to that, I had kind of come to the center in the sense that I, you know, had watched interviews with Obama, and I was like, this guy's pretty good. Why does everybody hate Obama?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, he's fairly conservative. Like,
and just
opened me up to like not necessarily thinking Democrat bad. End of discussion. And so I watched the primaries, and I'm listening to Bernie, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't agree with what this guy's saying, but he is right about some of these things, and he is, I can tell he's genuine and honest. And I then started, I do this with everything. I kind of just start consuming everything I can on someone to learn more about what it is they're, you know, putting out there. And so I just started consuming everything I could on Bernie and read his books and all that, like just dove into that. And within 6 months, I was like, from like end of 2015 to like March of 2016, I was like fully left, like maxing out with Bernie. I mean, fully left in the sense that like I wasn't, you know, I didn't have good underpinnings for it yet, but okay. Yeah.
So we just discovered the Lawrence Lessig to Obama to Bernie to the left pipeline. That's cool. No, I think we've had someone else mention Lawrence Lessig before as well. Wow, look at that. So let's dig more into the Bernie to now you feel comfortable. Okay, you feel at least some affinity towards the term anarchish. Anarchish. All right, so what happened in between there? What else? Let me ask like other politics, maybe if aspects rather of politics, aspects of any leftist theory or thinking or any other personal experiences by yourself or others, anything that helped pull your heart and mind to the left, yeah. Sourcing Support.
Yeah. So I don't know that I've really read any like theory, at least in maybe the traditional sense. I focus more on economics when it comes to that sort of thing. And reading economists aside from like the simpleton economic minds on the right of like, you know, Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lessons, which is essentially, you know, free market good, trust me. I don't know, getting back into exploring those things. So, I mean, I read, I'd have to pull up my list of authors, but yeah, it's a long list of people that I've just kind of churned through over the past few years that have opened my eyes to other ways of organizing our economy that seem viable to me and seem actually like what we already do, right? In the case of, you know, the boogeyman of modern monetary theory, that's not like something that we're unfamiliar with. We've literally been doing it for 40 years. It's just a matter of recognizing that and deciding, hey, instead of generating and creating new money to prop up financial markets, how about we do that to, you know, invest in real value in the world? Weird. I don't know what else I can speak to on that. That's really kind of pushed me left. I mean, video
so content. So MMT, modern monetary theory. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've tried to spend a few hours on that, and I feel like I'm just planting maybe I've planted the beginnings of seeds of understanding of what the fuck that means. Yeah.
I mean, it's essentially, distill it, it's essentially recognizing the fact that we are on a fiat monetary system, right? Which means that money is just something we fabricate. Mm-hmm. And additionally, recognizing that when the government spends, it's creating new money, yes, mm-hmm. but there's not necessarily an issue with that if you're creating new value, right? Because we live in a growth-based economy. And as long as you are creating new value while you're creating that new money, the spending power essentially equals out, because what you're really doing when you create new money, when you're spending it on new things, is you're preventing deflationary effects, right? So if we're creating new value in the world and there's no new money in the world, then there's a deflationary effect that happens. And it's just kind of recognizing that that's what we've been doing since the 70s. There's more to it, but that's probably the easiest way to explain it.
Right. Reagan decoupled the dollars from the gold bar, right? Is that what happened or something?
It was before. It was in 73 when it was completely completely decoupled. I mean, it was before that.
Okay.
But in the 70s was when there was all, it just flat out. Like, there was no illusion of what we were doing anymore.
Do you mind if I ask, do you have a book recommendation in terms of MMT? Who's one of the main actors, actresses there? What's her name? Stephanie Kelton. Oh, I can't believe I just remembered that name.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking for a book. Oh, here. No problem. There's staff behind me. Yeah, Kelton, her book's pretty good. Her one from last summer. I don't know the name of it, even though I've read it. It's laying around here somewhere.
I have one book laying around my room. I keep it simple. Clearly, you have many a book, so. This person's well-read, everyone. Sourcing spirit.
There's actually a textbook, which I know doesn't sound like it's going to be easy to read, but I do recommend it. It is pretty easy to consume, relatively speaking. It's just it's a macroeconomics book that I will I'll drop in Discord.
Hey, cool. Thanks.
I think it's really good. You can kind of dive into it wherever you want. It has a good kind of primer at the beginning to walk you through the history of like different economic systems. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you watch, without going into debate stuff, if you watch the Richard Wolff debate, but he actually kind of gave the same summary of that history that he was trying to give is in that macroeconomics book. I mean, his was much more distilled, but you know, if you enjoyed that piece of it, you'd get more meat on the bone with this textbook.
And I feel like I'm sorry I interrupted you. You were talking more about things that pulled you left, and we got caught up with MMT, and I didn't want to us there.
Yeah, that's I guess before I kind of went down that road when I was 2015 side of things, I had gotten exposed to TYT and Kyle Kalinske from Sam Harris, actually, where he had that big debate with them about atheist stuff, and that exposed me to left YouTube. Mm-hmm. And that's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, what exposed me to the fact that Lawrence Lessig was running, because he had an interview with Cenk.
Oh, yeah. And
then, yeah, just kind of going down the left pipeline.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you said of YouTube. What else? The Kyle, the Young Turks. Yeah, feel free to mention a couple more, and then we can move on if you like.
Yeah, it was Pac-Man. I was big into for a while. Humanist Report. Those are probably the main ones I was watching at the time.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. All right then. So sourcing support. What we get to do now is look back at your life and distill it into some life lessons. They could be life lessons, just generic, or something that's left oriented, or just whatever you want. This is called hashtag be best.
Yeah. One of the things that I try to live by these days is recognizing that I could be wrong, especially when I am really confident that I'm right. And it's difficult for all of us to do that. It's not a partisan issue, right? There's confirmation bias in all of us, and we have to constantly correct for that. So it's something I just try to keep at the front of my mind, and definitely would hope that others would do the same. One of the tactics I use actually for that with myself is, what was the last thing I was wrong about? I just try to think about that every once in a while. And when I'm discussing something with someone who is at least saying that they honestly want to understand my perspective and they believe that I'm wrong or whatever, I try to flip it back on them. Like, okay, when was the last time you were wrong about something, and what was it and why? Because if you can't, and I understand you might not be able to think of something immediately, right? But if you know, given some time to reflect, you cannot think of something that you were wrong about significant. And you're probably wrong about a lot, or at least you don't have good reasons for the things you believe. And yeah, that's kind of my personal project, is just to have good reasons for the things I believe, or at least try to do that and not be married to any one belief at any given time.
Could I call it epistemic humility?
Yeah, that's a nice term. I like that.
Epistemological humility.
Yeah.
Is epistemic the same as epistemological? I don't know.
I think so. Sounds right.
And I love how you've divorced, instead of just like what we're believing in being right or wrong, you've divorced that from like just our reasons. Do we have good reasons for believing what's right or wrong? This actually rings true for me, and I wonder if it's because we crossed similar sort of atheist pathways back in 2015-ish. I was active in a movement called Street Epistemology, where we did interviews of people, and we would use Socratic questions centered around their reasons for the belief, not their belief itself. It's fascinating when you have a conversation that, because it just breaks down so many barriers. This isn't about me though. I'm sorry.
No. I like that. I was really big into that for a while too. Consumed a lot of Anthony Magnabasco's content and some of the other people in that group.
Love it. Look at that. Look at that. Small world. So epistemic humility. Love it. Yeah.
I just dropped a book in chat. It's just, I pulled up one of my book lists. That's great. That's one I definitely recommend people. It's a good one on economics. Really kind of light reading.
Giannis, I've seen a couple of YouTube videos with the guy. Giannis Varoufakis. Fakis. Good. Great. He's easy to listen to. Easy on the eyes too. Handsome guy.
Indeed.
All right. So I think we're ready then. Unless you want to have anything else you want to share here in hashtag be best sourcing support, now's your chance.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if people would do that, and just, I think we'd all be a lot happier and get along better.
Yeah. Again, one of the things that I learned from doing my Street Epistemology tour of duty, I don't know why I just called it that, but there's a lot of confidence that's just unjustified. Just a lot of people who are unjustly confident about the bullshit that they believe. And the shit that they say is true out loud. And I'm like, just hold on. Maybe believe it, but don't say it as loud up. You know, don't say it's true out loud. Like, pump the brakes, dude. Have a little bit of fucking humility, right? Like, you can't know the thing. A lot of times you're like, are you fucking serious? There's no way you can actually know the thing that you're saying is actually true. Anyways, unjustified confidence bugs the fuck out of me. And I hate it when I do it myself, right? You start to see it in yourself.
We all fall into it.
I love that question. When was the last time, what was the last thing I was wrong about? That is so good. It just like fucking recenters you in humility. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good practice. I guess one other thing on that that I try to, that's been a major change, I guess, for me over the past decade is getting control over my temper. I am a very rage-prone individual. It's somewhat chemical. It's definitely hereditary, or at least was influenced by my family, and I see it in my daughter as well, unfortunately. And so it's a constant effort, and because of that, I guess one of the other things I can identify with is pacifism. It's not as simple as that, but that's kind of the ideal that I try to at least have for myself, is that I try to reduce conflict as much as possible so that I'm not putting or falling into that animosity trap myself.
Excellent stuff there. Okay, so I think we're ready to move on to the leftist inquisition then. Cool. Yeah, this has been fascinating so far. Loving every moment of this. Loving it. So sourcing support, you can, for any reason, you're encouraged to pass or skip any question. I don't take it personally. However, let's start first with your favorite word. Do you have a favorite word, sourcing support?
I don't. I cannot think. I mean, fuck's probably a good one. I use that a lot, but...
Fuck. Yeah. Do you have a least favorite word or one you don't like?
Yeah, I can't really think of anything.
Honestly, I don't care. These questions suck, right? We'll get to the good stuff. Here's a good one, I think. Do you have a favorite drug, vice, or guilty pleasure? Or if you like, you can name one of each.
I try not to have guilty pleasures. I try to not have guilt in my life, actually, at all. I do enjoy some cannabis on the daily. I don't really consider it a vice. It's a nice substance that enhances my life. And I don't let it cause problems, so I don't consider it a vice, yeah. Although I could see how it might cause problems for others if you're not careful. But I'd say that's true for anything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then, do you have a sound or a noise that you love?
I live next to a nursing home.
So. I'm trying to mute myself with a microphone. I hit the wrong button. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. 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 So you're familiar with the sirens next to the nursing home. Dang.
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything in terms of sound. I like a good beat. I'll say that.
All right. How about a sound or noise you hate other than the sirens?
Any noise that's loud or repetitive grinds on me very quickly. Yeah. I don't know. It actually flares up my rage.
So, I don't remember where you mentioned, if you mentioned where you grew up, but if you were born in France, you get three answers. If you were born in Wisconsin, you get two answers. Otherwise, you only get one answer, unless you break the rules, in which case I can't stop you. What's your favorite cheese?
It's definitely cheddar. It's some sort of sharp white cheddar is what I'm going to go to most of the time. I do have a subset of that I like that is a truffle cheddar. It's quite good.
Oh, such a good question. Good answer, by the way. Correct answer.
Thank you.
Ding! I need a button. Okay. All right. We're on to reincarnation. If you were reincarnated as some plant or a non-human animal and somehow you were given the ability to choose, what would it be?
It's some sort of flying creature, for sure. Whatever one lives the longest, so maybe some sort of parrot.
Parrots live pretty long, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. Parrot, live in the tropics, what's left of them, and fly around.
Beautiful. Don't they, like, hang out with, like, tons of parrots, and it's just, like, really cool to see them hanging out?
I'm not sure. I had a parrot as a kid, although I'm against having pet birds. But you know, it's what it is.
All right. So sourcing support, let's say at the end of your life, you go to heaven and you're at the pearly gates and I guess God's there. And what would you like to hear God say?
I'd want some answers as to why slacking off so hard. Probably be demanding some answers right away.
Quit slacking, God. Yeah. All right. Now, sourcing support, I get to ask you about an influential leftist, and they could be dead or alive, someone that you would like to meet. Of course, if they're dead, we'd bring them back to life and maybe clean them up a little bit. Should be all right.
I don't really do but if I had an opportunity to sit and have a conversation with somebody long form, honestly, I wish I could bring Michael Brooks back.
Rest in power, Michael. Yeah. I think I maybe mentioned this to you before, but I wasn't really a leftist when he was alive, and I sort of regret it.
He did some good work. I did actually have an opportunity to meet him briefly once, and was very impressed with just how he conducted himself.
Yeah. Funny guy, dude. Big brain and funny. Good combo. Yep. Okay. Yeah, well, given that opportunity, what do you think, how that conversation might go? This is a chance for you to have a hypothetical chat with Michael Brooks.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not something I've given a lot of consideration to, but I just like having conversations with people that are smarter than me, and he's definitely smarter than me, so...
Smarter than me, bud. Now, next question is, do you have a favorite leftist book or author or just something you're willing to suggest? We already named a couple different ones. Talking to My Daughter About the Economy or How Capitalism Works and How It Fails by Yanis Varoufakis.
So left, maybe not specifically, right? It'd be on kind of, I guess you could say left economics. So... Ho-Jung Chang, I like as well. So he talks about, he's kind of a funny guy too. He's good at dropping in a little bit of dry humor, which I appreciate. So between him and Yanis, those are probably more like left authors that I like. Trying to think of anyone else on that end. I don't actually read a lot of left books that are not economics based. I probably should, but yeah. So if anyone has recommendations.
Yeah, I realize I need to get like a book club thing going, like a list of everything that people have suggested, have that somewhere. The Leftist and Chill book club, to which I can add your suggestions as well. All right, then the last question. Oh, wow, we're at the last question already. It's about streamer tips. You're a streamer yourself. You watch streams. What do you think is important for streamers to know, whether they be beginners or veterans or either?
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you're trying to gain an audience, I think, you know, the biggest thing you can do is talk to chat, which is difficult when you're first starting out because there's no one in your chat. So you just have to get comfortable, I guess, talking to yourself, talking at the YouTube or whatever, right? Put on some YouTube and talk to it and yell at it, I guess, if you want. Outside of that, I don't know that I'd have a lot of tips for people except for just make sure you're engaging, right? I joke a lot and say, don't read chat, but it's a joke. Definitely read chat, get to know people. It's a community. And that's what I like about Twitch, right? It's what makes Twitch different from YouTube is that there's actually some community aspect. You get to know people from around the world, what they believe and why, and that's valuable. In terms of tech, you know, if you can, again, like around growth stuff, if you can try to do something to set yourself apart. So I don't really do that. I mean, I did for a minute I have this Chrome extension that does text-to-speech and audio clips and stuff like that. I don't really use it a lot myself, but that's something that people have a lot of fun with in other channels. And yeah, if you can find little things like that to kind of separate yourself out from others, that's usually what makes a difference. And additionally, I guess one other thing on that is that be yourself. If you're going to do this, be you, even if you think you is not interesting or that you're boring. I mean, someone's going to be interested, right? And it's a lot more fun to be yourself and just have a good time. For me, it's what I do to unwind. It's not like, you know, a revenue stream for me. So I guess it's easier for me to say that. But I think that I'll say this, my left politics, I preach a lot that, you know, profits are not an innovator. People don't do things for money. They do things because they're interested in them. They're trying to solve some problem for themselves or their friends or others or humanity. And any profit that comes from it is purely secondary. If you are just looking to make a profit, there are a lot of other things you can do in the world. Streaming is not a good one.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a grind if you want to make money. I'll tell you what. Awesome. Really good shit there. Great advice. Excellent advice. Sourcing support. What we could do now is throw it to the chat. We can throw it to the chat. Chat, do you have any questions for sourcing support? The first question that I saw earlier, and it's a question of mine. What's up with the headphones? those big foamy things. I love them. They look comfy. They look like they're blocking out sound as well.
So yeah they're custom sort of. I had some old Grottos that were destroyed, that were just sitting in a box, and my other over ear headphones died, and I don't know, I didn't want to buy some new ones, so I popped open my electronics box and just kind of rebuilt them, took them apart, resoldered them, put in, rewired the, because they used to have two wires coming down.
Wow.
And so I just made it so it was one wire with it going over the band. And then this foam padding is actually just the same padding that you have behind you. It's just, I cut the triangle and then turn it, and it's perfect because that triangle gives it indention to where it's just the rim hitting my head. And so it's not so hard on my glasses.
Yeah. Look at that. He's a smart guy. Great one. Nice, nice, nice. This is also, if you have any questions for me, you can answer, ask that as well. Otherwise, I'm not seeing any other questions from chat. And I do believe, as I look at the time here, I do believe that means we have some time to ask you, you know, what else is grinding your gears, what's on your mind, topical, what's in the news, otherwise, what's up?
Yeah, I try not to let anything get to me too much. I guess one of the things that has been on my mind recently is how we are interacting with one another. Online, it's really easy to kind of get carried away and be overly aggressive and even fall into the very same traps that we tease other people for, right? And one of those things that I noticed in myself was just saying constantly that's capitalism, or blaming everything on capitalism. And while I think capitalism does a lot of wrong in the world, I'm trying to check myself on doing the whole, well, communism, because you're on the, you know, this thing that right-wingers do. And while capitalism is certainly a harmful economic system to have and does a lot of harm in the world, you know, there are other factors involved that we should probably talk about as well, and not just always be so narrowly scoped in our shitposting, as it were. And you know, and then the thing that will get me heated and that I don't control very well is patents. I want to abolish patents entirely. I really want to do a lot around IP in general. I do think that there are some, you know, copyright things that are legitimate and that, you know, should exist. But I think the world would be much better off if we abolished patents entirely. And something I talk about somewhat regularly. I talked about it yesterday, and it's one of those, again, one of those things that I lose my cool on sometimes.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, what about the feelings of rich people? You didn't think about that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just a jerk. You know, I joke sometimes, but I'm serious. You know, part of the reason why we need a wealth tax is actually to the benefit of the wealthy too. Being hyper wealthy is harmful to you and society. It removes you from society and makes it to where you cannot identify with other people properly. And that's isolating. So, you know, I joke, but it's also serious. You know, I want to help the billionaires by relieving them of being billionaires.
I like the way that sounds. It's compassionate. It isn't so aggressive. And you're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, anyone that's been in any kind of leadership position should be able to recognize this too, right? So if you've ever been a manager, and we're not a manager prior with that team, you can see how they treat you is very different. All of a sudden, like, you don't do any wrong. It's like, yeah, I do. Come on. I'm just another person here. And that can be very isolating. And it just gets worse as you go up the ladder.
And going back to IP, I think this is the perfect time to illustrate that. You know, we have just fucking countries around the fucking world that are begging us to drop the patents for things like the coronavirus vaccine. And all of the countries in the quote-unquote global north are like, no, we don't really like that idea. We think it's actually better for you if we don't do that.
Yeah, the gaslighting is something I don't... like, if you just want to say, look, we're not going to open up our patents, and that's because, you know, we're a business. Okay, if you want to be honest about it. And I'll even not be super mad at you if you say, but we won't, at least, we won't sue you if you figure it out, right? Like, I don't know. I guess I could accept that to some degree. And I mean, what are you going to do? But it's the lying that gets on my nerves, saying, oh, no, we need this IP. It's actually for your best interest because it acts as a sort of regulation. Like, we have regulations. That's not what IP is for. Get out of here.
Hmm. So have we spelled out what IP is? Intellectual property. Just in case someone's listening and doesn't know.
Yeah, and specifically in this case, we're talking about patents, right? I mean, intellectual property is a broader thing, and sometimes I'm a little bit too narrow because I'm usually talking about patents.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have other issues with copyright and trademarks and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. But, yeah. What else is left? So patents, copyrights, trademarks, likenesses?
Yeah, I think those are the main things that, you know.
I'm not learned on the subject. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you'd like to see intellectual property banished, specifically patents?
Yeah.
And did I say banished? leave this land. Never come back. Abolished. So, excuse me.
My go-to argument when I'm talking to capitalists, especially if they're like kind of the centrist type, is like, don't believe me. Believe your hero. Let me link you to Elon Musk. He agrees with me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
abolish patents.
Yeah, so he put out, or Tesla put out in 2014 that they were opening up their patents, and they kind of explained why. They said, look, you know, while we initially got these patents to protect ourselves, we realized that we're actually stifling the innovation here, and it doesn't allow other people to use this tech that we think is good for the world. And whether or not you think that, you know, this is revolutionizing the world, it is true. And they are right that patents stifle innovation. They do not promote innovation in any way. And I won't go into a huge long rant about that, but there's two points, and one is people are not motivated by profit generally, almost entirely. And second, if something is truly unique and special, then it's not something others could easily understand. And so if you've invented something super novel, well, then it's protected by its very nature.
Sourcing support, you're saying that patents stifle innovation, but you haven't heard all of the different happy birthday songs in the different restaurants that they've been forced to make up. because happy birthday was not public domain. Right?
That's true.
Think
There's
about
actually
it.
A whole new
I think
genre.
I just dismantled your theory there. You can go now. Your show is now mine.
You got me.
All right. Yeah. No. I hear what you're saying. Cool. That's good. That's good stuff. So, like, let's consider like something like one of the things that we chatted about. One of the things, something like IP patent stuff. I'd love to be able to continue the conversation. You know, we're not going to solve the world's problem with a single podcast. I'm thinking with you and me, maybe two, maybe three, and then we'll be there, maybe more. But you know, that's a seed that I'd love to be able to return to and continue talking about. You can continue to educate me on the subject and my audience, and I'd really appreciate that. And of course, all these other really important things that we touched on along the way. It was really fascinating getting to know you, Sourcing Support. This is really a lot of fun, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, bud. Did you have fun?
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing me on. It's a good conversation. I hang out in your chat. I'm usually lurking, but awesome. You always have these good conversations, so I appreciate being one of them.
Awesome. Yeah. So again, thank you. Again, we've invited you in the spirit of building leftist unity, strength, and power. You've been a great guest. Really looking forward to future conversations with you. So with that, peace and solidarity, brother.
See you later.
All right. Okay, that's okay. I'll fix that. That was Sourcing Support with me, Aydin Simpson.